It
You
says
didn't
it's
hear.
playing the LMC radio tritone, but we have no tritone.
LMC.
Oh.
Oh, now I hear it.
You're listening to the LMC Radio Network, broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at LuckyMojo.com.
So,
all right, everyone,
that
we're
going to
give
it
a try.
Let's
go
try
ahead,
hitting
Arch.
That music, Reverend James. I clicked it. I'm not sure what's happening.
I don't hear anything.
1 minute until showtime.
Oh, join us as we explore the spiritual, magical, and wondrous phenomena that enrich our souls and bring color to our days. I'm your announcer, Reverend James of FaultConjure.com, located in Western North Carolina. This week, we welcome our special guests, co-hosts of the LMC Radio Network show, The Witch, The Priestess, and The Cauldron, Deborah Voith of BewitchingBee.com, and Miss Elvira, that's Elvira with a Y, love of Elvira.com. Bringing us today's topic, Yule and the Winter Solstice. In just a moment, we'll be joined by our host, Reverend Art of FaultConjure.com in North Carolina, and our guests, Miss Elvira and Deborah Voith. Make sure you're logged into Blog Talk Radio and join in the discussion via the chat. Now, let's catch up with our host, Reverend Art. Take it away.
Thanks, Reverend James. I am so confused right now. Announcements coming in on the music was still for anybody
it was
that
still
joined,
playing for us but not for our listeners. I'm pretty sure that's how this is working.
Well, for anybody that was a participant in our sister show, the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour last night, the Blog Talk Radio Gremlins are playing hell with us yet again here at the LMC Radio Network. This ought to be very interesting, and we are going to get through this. We are going to power through. But if you can hear me, it is Monday. We are back on the air, I think. And if it's Monday, that means it's Magic Mondays on Hoodoo Psychics. Take a few moments, run over to the Hoodoo Psychics Facebook page, find the Magic Mondays post, and drop a comment to win your chance of a free 15-minute reading with the Hoodoo Psychic of your choice. A lot of great readers out there definitely get your name in that hat. All right. So, yay, Mercury retrograde, Phyllis Margaret Gabor says. And I'm just sitting here thinking, F Mercury retrograde. But that's just me for today. I could definitely do without Mercury retrograde ebbing my flow. So, you know what? I'm going to flip this back over to Reverend James. Reverend James, what's new with you since yesterday?
Well, dealing with this craziness, to be honest, I'm going to let everybody know that I think I will extend the show just so that we're able to deal with this delay we're having and be able to end things smoothly. Beyond that, I have been working tirelessly for the past few days, getting all of our figural candles that we make up on our website and up on Etsy. Art's been putting them on our website. I've been putting them on Etsy. So for those of you that have been waiting to see what kind of candles we offer, feel free to head on over to folkconjure.etsy.com, or in the next few days, we'll have it at folkconjure.com. Be aware, Etsy will be a little bit more expensive because they charge us extra fees. So those of you that are around us and with us and can hear us through the radio waves and whatnot, you'll want to head over to folkconjure.com when we have that available. Other than that, not much.
Excellent segue, Reverend James. Thanks. I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of laughs and giggles tonight. And on top of what Reverend James was saying about the candles, I will be doing some live shows on our Folk Conjure Facebook page. We're going to introduce the candles. We'll talk a little bit about some of the unique ways they can be used. There's a lot of candles out there that you might not have seen before that can definitely boost that symbolism in your individual spell work.
Oh, wow. So, Phyllis, thanks. You just favored it at our store. We appreciate it.
Excellent. All right. So without further ado, and before Blog Talk Radio cuts us off, as it's going to, I want to welcome our guest tonight, Miss Elvira Love and Miss Deborah Voith. Absolutely fantastic to have you both back with us. We had so much fun when you joined us. It's actually 3 months to the day. You were here with us on September 18th for Mabin.
Oh.
And here we are at the turn of yet another season. So how are things with you both?
Well, Deb, I'm going to turn it over to you for...
Ah!
Yay! Okay, hey.
Well, I'm kind of, you know, posting along with the flow of Mercury retrograde. It seems like I'm being affected somewhat, maybe not as bad as a lot of other people. I was born during a Mercury retrograde. But there has been, like, just weird stuff going on. You know, it's like, I think yesterday morning, it was my daughter's birthday. I got up and it was like, I was pouring coffee beans into the coffee maker and they spilled all over the place. And then I walked into, you know, I think rather than technology going backwards, it's me. Cause then I stepped into the dog's water dish and it was just like, little things like that happened like the whole day yesterday. And, I mean, it all turned out all right, you know. I just had to kind of sail along there. And so, so I'm actually feeling very fuel-y as we were getting closer to the holiday and stuff. And getting, you know, I have, you know, a tree in my house and just, I don't know, just feeling really warm and cozy. Like I said before, I'm drinking my peppermint tea. It's cold and windy outside and just feeling excited about doing the show tonight.
Yeah, we seen your Yule log on social media earlier. That's really pretty.
Well, thanks. Thanks, yeah. Yeah, and, you know, I just did that spur of the moment. I thought, oh, there's a really cool-looking log out in the pile in the backyard. So I went out and got it, and I'm not even sure what kind of wood it is. I suspect it's not one of the usual woods that are used, like oak. I'm pretty sure it's actually from this really old ancient lilac tree that we cut down last year. But it looks cool. The log looks really cool, and I was able to put, you know, snipped off some greenery from the tree that we have in the house, and I had I had some pine cones up on my ancestor altar because by my parents' grades and their parents, they're all kind of right in the same area there. There's a couple of pine trees growing there, and so I always pick up pine cones when I'm there. And so I put one of the pine cones on there, and just I actually drew like a couple of runes on either side of it. But yeah, I had fun, and it really didn't take very long to put that together. Yeah.
So cool.
So how about So yeah, I'm getting festive, even though things have been kind of push me, pull me, sort of a feeling lately, but I'm feeling kind of good about going into this holiday season. I don't always feel that way. Sometimes I'm more than just a little frantic, trying to get, you know, things done. And there, you know what, really, I just have to settle my little head down because it's like, you know what, there's no reason for that. Because I start kind of spinning off into, you know, what if, or I got to get this done, or, you know, getting into those things rather than really connecting with what I feel like Yule is, which is really about, you know, getting together with family and celebrating and eating and all those good things. Yeah.
I definitely am a fan of the eating.
Yeah.
And how about you, Miss Elvira?
Well, it's been interesting. I was born on a Mercury retrograde, and so it was last week that I had my birthday, and I kind of had
happy belated.
Been feeling, well, thank you. My deceased husband was a Rosicrucian, and so he was always talking about the last energy cycle, because they do 7 energy cycles or a certain number of days, and your last energy cycle is usually the, you know, like you're exhausted, and it's like being at the end of a journey, want to get home and or get wherever you're going. And I usually have been totally oblivious to it, probably because living in California with the kind of life I had with a lot of people and the holidays and everything, I was just in go mode. But because I'm here and I have a different pace, I actually was feeling tired and kind of nothing really felt really all that swift and good. But as soon as it changed, I really felt a whole lot better, even though, you know, there's the Mercury retrograde stuff going on. But I've got literally all of my presents for California are delivered. Everybody's going to have them well, you know, for Christmas and Yule and all the things that everybody celebrates back there. And I feel really good about what I've got here. And I'm looking at my beautiful tree all lit up. And I was really excited to do the show that we're doing because it kind of put me back into perspective of what the season's really about, as opposed to what it has commercially been brought about to be. And of course the family and the eating and the you know, all the good stuff like that is what I'm really looking forward to once we get to, you know, that time frame. But I'm, you know, really happy. I actually was watching the wind today that was taking my flags. I've got a lot of flags all the way around my wraparound porch. and it was really very soothing. So, yeah.
That sounds very awesome. I'm a fan of wind chimes, and I know a lot of people are like, those are just noisy. But there's just something about, you know, having those when the wind blows and plays their tune. It just, you know, calming to the soul. So I could definitely understand. Well, it's so wonderful for all of us to be back together again. This is predominantly our last live show of the year, too. We have a couple pre-recorded surprises and ideas coming up for the next couple weeks as everybody is celebrating their holidays. Okay, so apparently I was warbling and now I'm back. So
yes,
the gremlins are still messing with us.
A little.
Of great things going on. You know, we've all, you know, Reverend James and I do have to admit, you know, we have yet to put our tree up. We've been burning the candle at both ends. We will be rectifying that tomorrow. And even though it's supposed to be like, you know, negative frigid tomorrow, we're going to be out there getting everything up and ready to go. So, all right. I'm really looking forward to this show, too, because this time of year, a lot of the focus turns back to family and, you know, that togetherness that you mentioned, both Deb and Elvira. And I'm hoping that we can bring – oh, warbling again.
You were for a minute there, but now you're not.
Yeah, you're fine.
Interesting. Oh, it's just going to be a fight all day. But, you know, I really – one thing I do personally love about the season is that level of togetherness, the reminding of what – really matters in life. It's the people that we love, the people that enrich our lives, and really kind of spreading a little bit of that love around. And it doesn't necessarily have to just be, you know, with family and friends. You know, a smile to a stranger as you're walking down the road, unless you smile weird, then they might be like, ugh. But you know, don't leer. You know, a wave, thanking somebody for holding the door for you. All these little things actually can create huge waves of positive energy throughout the season. Is so important. You know, Reverend James and I, we make it a point to, you know, really kind of compliment people. More so this year, because this time of the year, because of the stresses. But you know, you go to the retail stores, and everybody is—you can see it on their faces. They're tired. They've been getting yelled at. It's like, why don't you have this in stock? Why don't you have that in stock? Oh, that didn't ring up right. Blah blah blah, and all this negativity. You know, but just taking that moment to thank them for being there, for assisting you in any way, shape, or form, wishing them, you know, a happy holidays, Merry Christmas, or whatever you choose. It builds, and you never know whose day you can change, whose life you can change just by a random act of kindness.
Right. Well, my father, at this time of the year, he was a therapist, and so he had clients, and they would give him things, and it didn't always, you know, they were gifts. They would just be grateful patient gifts. He called them GPs. And so since then, I basically go out and I'm not a baker, but I find really nice, you know, containers of cookies, and I wrap them, and I give them to the people that I have, you know, dealt with, like my chiropractor or my doctor or the dog groomer. And this year, of course, I did the same thing, and I gave it to my UPS store where my P.O. box is at. and they were like so happy because it gave them, because that's part of the Yule traditions is, you know, the sugar cookies and bringing sweetness and, you know, that kind of energy. But they were like, it was so wonderful. And they, you know, I came in a few days later and they were like, you really made our time, because we could not only have, you know, these cookies, but it was something that was given back to them. So I do understand that time frame of, even if you open the door to somebody that's holding a bunch of packages, they're trying to get in or out, it's really important and very loving.
And I think, you know, it reflects so much through the remainder of the year. You know, if we can close the year with spreading joy, spreading hope, spreading comfort, spreading love,
mm-hmm.
and consistently paying that forward, not only are we honoring the season, and we're really working together to build a better world.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. And now I'm sitting here thinking to myself how many different places that we can go, Reverend James and myself, that we can spread a little bit of extra cheer. So now I'm going to have to make a list.
And checking it twice.
Checking it twice.
I was thinking the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
But it'll all be nice. But, you know, I think we're at a good spot here. Why don't we take a few moments? We'll jump in and attempt to have a message from our sponsors. And we'll come back and we'll dive into Yule and the Winter Solstice.
Okay.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurement, Sundays 3 to 4:30. Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places with Reverend Art and Reverend James, Mondays 4 to 5:30. The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, in syndication, Tuesdays. The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Deborah Voice, Tuesdays, 4 to 5. The Now You Know Show with Professor Porterfield, in syndication, Wednesdays. And The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Miss Phoenix LaFay, in syndication, Thursdays. All time specific, add 3 hours for Eastern. Sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
Support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com. And by the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org. And by Hoodoo Psychics, the first psychic line run entirely by Hoodoo practitioners. Receive a reading with a trusted root worker instantly. Call 1-888-4-HOODOO or visit hoodoopsychics.com. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of the Association of Independent Spiritual Churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Thank you to all of our sponsors. Back to you, Reverend Art.
Hey, we're actually rocking and rolling. Fantastic. All right, so, we kind of got a little bit into the discussion before the break, but I'd like to just turn this over to you both, Deb and Elvira. Why don't you take us through Yule and the winter solstice?
Oh, Deb, go for it.
You want to go? Okay. My take on it is that I know there's like a lot of different like midwinter celebrations, a lot of things going on in December, a lot of different, you know, cultures and different places in the world and stuff like that. I always kind of think of Yule as being one of the older winter solstice type of festivals, and I always kind of connect it with the Norse. the ancient Norse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Although things weren't written down back then, and so some of that stuff is really hard to be sure of, and a lot of the history of it is debatable. But a lot of theories have to do with its association with Odin and the Wild Hunt, and, you know, themes of light and fire and feasting are really common to it. And I think that having to do with the darkest, you know, or just recently going through, whether you're doing it on the 21st or the 25th or whatever, there's that darkest night of the year or longest night of the year. And so I think that a lot of it has to do with celebrating that darkness and then going into longer days of light. And not to describe the darkness as being something bad, because it's not something negative. It's almost more like a time of getting quiet, you know, kind of being more reflective and kind of preparing for the next couple of cold months ahead, if, you know, especially if you're in the more northern climes. But I don't know, you guys are south, and sounds like it's pretty cold down there, too.
it's getting there.
But just, yeah. But, yeah, so I've always sort of described it as a festival of light. I think that there's a common theme throughout any of the celebrations that happen. And with Yule, whether you're celebrating Yule or Christmas, I think that if you take away, like, the commercialism and any kind of rigid religion or anything like that, I think the celebrations all have very much in common with being about family and friends, about connections, about, you know, celebrating, going through that darkest night, and then, you know, preparing and going through the next couple of colder months before you get, you know, the spring. And so, yeah, I think that it's really a lot about, you know, creating that feeling of warmth and abundance and togetherness and celebrating life, basically. And so I think that there's a lot of other, you know, folklore and mythology connected with it, but I don't want to go on too long before I let Elvira, what are some of your thoughts about Yule?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I did a lot of the, you know, checking of everything, and you're right. There is all of the different cultures and countries and tribes that have the same concept that it's, you know, the darkest, longest night, but it's the rebirth of light. So, of course, they work on rituals to coax the light back. And, you know, bring back that growth pattern. And, of course, Yule itself, as you say, is more Nordic and more, you know, in that area. And, of course, there is, you know, I think you and I were talking at one point before we got on, you know, before we were going to do the show, and we were talking about the fact that in the Celtic tradition, because originally, of course, the Celts had the Norse or the Vikings come over, and then the natural little Picts that were there, the ones that were the tribes that were there, they kind of intermingled. So it became a mutual point of reference of what it was. But there was the battle more from the Druidic point of reference of the Oak King and the Holly King. And, of course, the Holly King is the dark. And, of course, there's this battle that takes place in the Holly King is killed by the Oak King, who takes on, you know, the mantle until summer solstice, where the battle goes back again, only it becomes reversed. But I found something more interesting about there are birds involved, and you were talking, Art, about warbling, and it's interesting that there is also a battle between two birds, the wren, which represents the summer and, you know, the old year, and then, of course, the robin. And so there is a battle, too, between these two birds at Yule, and, of course, the robin wins, and then the new year turns again for the light to come back. But I was really kind of, you said that, but I didn't want to break into your thoughts of that, so I wanted to make sure I said that closer to when it happened and give you an idea. But I was really kind of the different ways. It's all about the Virgin Mother giving birth to the Son, and then the Son growing and becoming, you know, the lover, and then moving into the King, and then, you know, this whole cycle. But the Mother is there, and it's very much this complement, even though you have things like Holly King, Oak King, or, you know, bird. But there's the female that brings forth life from herself. So that was what I found most interesting about all of the various cultures.
Yeah.
You know, when I think of
the
cultural aspect of Yule, it seems so diverse, so different depending on which region we're talking about. You know, for most of my research, I've seen it as a traditionally Germanic, either that or that's just the predominant research that's out there has been on the Germanic culture. But, you know, I've really tried to expand into, you know, the Nordic regions up into the Britons. I've been trying to focus a lot of time, as much time as I possibly can, into researching Eastern European origins of, you know, Yule and the pagan holidays. Trying to find any information about Slavic deities is not as easy as one would think.
Oh, yeah.
It's really, you know, it's a little bit of my heritage that I'm trying to kind of, you know, bring back and really dig into. So I'm starting to think I'm going to have to travel over to the area to find out more. But, you know, when you look at the traditional methods of celebration of Yule, they do have a lot of common threads. However, in modern paganism, it seems like drastically different, I guess, is the last way, the best way I can put it. It really seems like it's become kind of a melting pot in the terms of tradition. Am I alone in feeling like this?
Well, go for
I've
it.
I've always been a little, I've always been a little melty myself. And so I might not be the best person to answer that, because I think that I've always sort of been that way. I've always been very eclectic, and I also have been raised Catholic. I don't know. I feel like I really like hearing about how others do things. You know, just I really enjoy hearing about, like, the cultural and different region, the differences in how people do things, whether it's, you know, Yule or some other celebration or some other type of magic. I can relate to what you were saying, though, Art, about the Slavic deities. I've been trying to research those also, and having, just as a side note, it's hard to get information on a lot of that. I've had a help a little bit from someone who is from Eastern Europe, who translated a few things for me. But I've had a hard time finding. But
Yeah, Yule was actually, so ironically, one of the holiday-esque, you know, the ritual celebrations that I really started trying to research in the Eastern Slavic region, and it really seems like it was subsumed very seamlessly, but I'm sure we'll get there. Now that I know that you're working on it too, Deb, I think I might be reaching out to you. Well, two heads are better than one.
You know, I think the church and those crusaders probably took over a lot of what was going on there maybe earlier on. I'm not sure, but you have to go back a fair amount just to start seeing some of that information that you look for. Yeah, I just, you know, I'll tell you, I when I think of Yule, I think more of maybe the Germanic, but the Nordic, really.
Yes.
I think I connect with that even more, just because the whole thing, like the Yule trees, you know, evergreens in the Scandinavian forests were a symbol of life, you know, and so I can see how we ended up with the Christmas tree or the Yule tree. Yeah, and so I've heard that they would decorate the tree with small offerings to encourage tree spirits to return in the spring. And also there's that sun god, Balder, that was supposed to be his special plant. And then, you know, there's the Yule wreath. You know, I've heard that Vikings would create like these giant wheels out of fir trees, and then they would set them ablaze, which, you know, pine burns really easily, and roll them down a hill to welcome the return of the sun. And I've always wanted to do that. I've never gotten to do that, but I could see where that would be a lot of fun if you were able to do it in a safe place where there wasn't drought or anything going on.
Very true.
You know, and then there's the Yule logs. But what were you going to say, Elvira?
Well, I was going to mention that, you know, yes, about the wreaths, and of course, the one thing about the tree, the decorating of the tree and all was, you know, the Druids, of course, it was very imperative, the evergreen, because it never died. So it represented continual life of the universe as well as, you know, as above, so below. And they're decorating the trees were to bring the things that you want for the new year. And so coins and, you know, maybe a love charm or something like that. But it's also that the roots go deep. So the concept of as above, so below in the microcosm, and then, of course, in the physical realm, you have the micro and the macro. And it's fascinating that we do that. We decorate our trees with memories, okay? The child's first Christmas ornament they make in kindergarten, and the one Christmas ornament that survived from when you were a kid, and, you know, that whole process. And I think that's a living example, whether it's, you know, Druidic, Nordic, Roman. Of course, you have Mithras, you have the symbology of the deity along with the symbology of the ever consisting life process of renewal. And of course, the idea that the goddess turns the wheel. And, you know, when you said the wheel or the big, huge wreath, I didn't want to make a big deal about it. But one of the things I read, and I kind of went, I'm going to sort of, not sure I want to say this, but originally they would put a person on there. And it wasn't necessarily way, way, way back.
Oh, wow.
And then they changed it to a straw figure, that they did that. Oh. So I kind of went, well, okay, we have the human sacrifice process, which, right. you know, that in a primal, primitive way does say about, you know, the ancestors of that go farther back, they took things literally, and then it became more and more symbolic as we moved farther forward in our culturalization and, you know, the, that process. I, you know, I'm sitting here going, oh, I like my wreath. And actually, you know, it's kind of funny because you and I have talked about different things. And the wreath, of course, is a circle. And the Wheel of Fortune and the Tarot and, you know, all these things about change. And, of course, Yule is the second Sabbath. We have Samhain, which closes out, and then we have Yule, which opens the door to the new year. So.
So Ixnay on the human sacrifice. But the reason
no
is
kidding.
Really cool.
Yeah, we will do that. But... And I know somewhere along the line, you know, we have all the different things about, you know, the different deities that have been, you know, sacrificed for the sake of. That's why I say the symbolic battle, because actually the Oak King gets dressed just like Santa, with a red hat, with a piece of mistletoe, and the red coat,
yeah,
and all of
yeah.
that was how he was depicted, which is where our Santa Claus, Saint Nick, etc., kind of came mm-hmm. from.
Right. There's a lot of spirits connected with the Yule holiday. And, you know, one of the ones that I have been very intrigued with is what they call Mother's Night. And so that's a Nordic event that was held on what's now considered like Christmas Eve. And, mm-hmm. and sacrifices, you know, which were usually either a boar or some other animal that they were going to use to feast on.
Mm-hmm.
And then also like an altar and candles were used venerate the, I don't know if I'm saying this right, the deceased. And in Norse folklore, Mother's Night has to do with the deceased, and they're like a collective group of spirits, and they're the female ancestor.
Mm-hmm.
And some descriptions say that they also include like other entities, like the Valkyries, who are like service psychopomps, and they're supposed to be the ones that who guide the souls of the dead to Valhalla. And then mm-hmm. also the Norns, if I'm saying that right, Norns, they're deities,
mm-hmm.
and they're supposed to be responsible for shaping the course of human destinies, and so they kind of spin mm-hmm. the threads of fate at the foot of the world tree.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've gotten very intrigued with that lately, and I've been probably because of that. I think always around like different holidays and different anniversary dates, I think about my mom a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so, so I have been like really intrigued by just some of the stuff, some of the folklore and rituals surrounding Mother's Night. And just kind of as a side, I thought it was real interesting as a pop culture thing where in that that new or newer version of the Sabrina show that they, on their Christmas special, they had like a Mother's Night thing going on with her conjuring up her mother in a seance. And then there was the entity or witch Gryla and the Yule Lad. And I thought, oh, how cool that they did that they included all of that and kind of mishmashed the folklore in that show. If you guys haven't seen it, I recommend it. It was a fun one to watch.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We'll definitely have to check that out.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I'm really intrigued too at the, you know, there's so much symbology that we see at this time of the year too, with the wreaths, the logs, the trees. You know, to me, it denotes a lot of that